Please open your Bibles to Exodus chapter 22, the second book in the Old Testament, Exodus 22, and then be prepared to go to the New Testament, 2 Corinthians chapter number 5. Exodus 22, and then 2 Corinthians chapter 5. For those of you who are here for the first time, we have spent the last seven Friday afternoons discussing what the Bible says about matters of finance and about managing one's personal or business accounts, or even one's national accounts if they happen to be in a position to do that. And I trust that many of you have found this study to be profitable, helpful. We have one last matter to look at, we'll cover today, and this is the biblical principle and truth of making restitution. The biblical principle and truth of making restitution. That's a big word, fancy word. Most people don't know that word because they don't make restitution. What that means is you are to make right past wrongs to the fullest extent possible. Now, we're going to get into the spiritual aspect of this thing and the way that men turn the grace of God into lasciviousness and try to use their born-again experience to get them out of their duty and their responsibility to their fellow man. We will address that, but let's pray and let's ask God to help us with this study of His Word today. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank You for the past weeks of showing us, even in the matter of finances, Lord, You have given us instruction, and it's for our benefit, Lord. And so I pray, Lord, You'd help us to take to heart the lesson that You have for us today, that we might know the importance and the significance of making things right that need to be made right, so that we can start sowing things and sowing the good things and reaping the benefits of those good things, and stop reaping from those things that we've not yet made right. Father, just bless the message today. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay. Exodus 22, verse number 1. If a man shall steal an ox or a sheep and kill it or sell it, he shall restore, make it right. He shall restore five oxen for an ox and four sheep for a sheep. Period. Now notice what is not in the verse. What is not in the verse is what you thought about how the man who had the ox was taking care of that ox. What is not in the verse is whether or not you thought that, well, he had too many oxen anyway, and you didn't have any. You didn't have enough. Notice what is not in the verse is whether or not you felt in any way, shape, or form felt justified in taking that man's sheep. It's his sheep, and you took it. You can't restore the sheep that you took because it's no longer living, so you have to give him five sheep. Okay? You have to give him five sheep in return. King David, you recall, he pronounced this judgment upon a man who stole somebody's little lamb. And the prophet Nathan came in. He told David, he said, this man took a lamb, and he had all kinds of other lambs, but he wanted that lamb. And he took that lamb. What should be done, David? And David said he should restore that one and four more. Restore it fourfold. And then, of course, if you know the story, that that hit him right in the face. It got turned around on him. He was the one who had stolen the sheep, named Bathsheba. Verse number 2. If a thief be found breaking up, busting through the door, busting through the window, tearing in your house, tearing it to pieces, and be smitten that he die, there shall be no blood shed for him. If the sun be risen upon him, there shall be blood shed for him, for he should make full restitution. If he have nothing, then he shall be sold for his theft. If the theft be certainly found in his hand alive, whether it be ox or ass or sheep, he shall restore double. Okay? Now here's the biblical law. If a man breaks into your private property and he is attempting to rob you, not only of your goods, but of your security and of your safety and of the comfort that you are entitled to living in your own home, whatever means that you have to stop that man from the act that he's committing is legal. Now, we're not under the Old Testament law, but I'm just showing you what the Bible says. I'm not telling you what you ought to do this afternoon. If you get home from church and you find somebody trying to make off with your TV, you ought to just get on the other end of that and help him carry it out. Okay? But I'm just showing you what the Bible says. Now, what's that man to do? If he's caught and he still has your stuff, he is to give that back plus an equal amount that was worth for your trouble. So that you can afford to buy a security system, or you can hire a guard, or you can get yourself an expensive watchdog, whatever it's going to take. If he has already pawned your stuff, and he's already bought the cocaine, and he doesn't have anything left, then that man is going to have to work. And what he earns does not go to him. It goes to you. That's God's law. We'll talk about that more in a few minutes. Now, notice there is nothing in the passage that says, if that man doesn't have as much as you, it's okay. He's entitled to your stuff. There's nothing in that passage that says, if that man thinks that you're just misusing the stuff that you had, then he should take it because he can use it better than you. Nothing in the passage that in any way, shape, or form justifies stealing somebody else's property. So the reason I bring that up is I'd like somebody to please type that out and mail it to the government of the United States and tell them we don't care if they think they can do a better job spending my money than I can. It's ours. It's not theirs. Verse number 5. If a man shall cause a field or a vineyard to be eaten, and shall put in his beast, and shall feed in another man's field, of the best of his own field, and of the best of his own vineyard, shall he make restitution. Look, I've got cattle. My next door neighbor, he's got some green pasture. I've got sheep. My next door neighbor, he's got some nice looking grazing land. And I, intentionally or unintentionally, doesn't matter, because I'm responsible for what my cattle do. I, by opening the gate, or even just by failing to mend or fix my fence, my sheep end up over in his property. They're my sheep. I'm responsible for what they do. If they eat up his grassland, I need to buy him some rolled hay to get his cattle through the winter now. If my sheep breaks into his barn and eats his grain, I need to go down to the feed store and buy that man whatever my sheep ate of his grain. You say, well, shouldn't he just forgive you? It was an accident. It doesn't matter if he forgives you or not. You say, well, couldn't you just, you know, apologize if that happened? Of course, you should apologize, but an apology doesn't put grass back in his pasture, see? And it doesn't put feed back in his barn. You know, well, I said I was sorry. It's not good enough. Biblically, you should say you're sorry, and you should be sorry, but you are required to settle the account, make it right. And saying you're sorry doesn't settle the account. Amen. Verse number 6. If fire break out and catch in thorns so that the stack of corn or the standing corn or the field be consumed therewith, he that kindled the fire shall surely make restitution. Now, does the verse say, unless it was an accident? Does the verse say, unless an unexpected wind came up and blew the fire out of control? Does the verse say, well, he's rich, he's got enough corn, he can afford it? The verse says, it was his corn. If you turned his corn into popcorn, you have got to replace it. It doesn't matter if it was an accident. It doesn't matter if it was intentional. You don't send him a card that says, sorry about the fire, though it would be a nice gesture. You send him a card, sorry about the fire. How much was the loss? Because God requires me to pay you for it. Now look, I'll just jump ahead of myself for a minute to break up the reading here. The reason my nation is in the financial mess that it's in is because we are not living according to biblical principles. I've been talking about this for weeks. We've talked about it with regard to income. We covered it with regard to bill paying. We covered that with regard to debt spending. We've covered it with regard to co-signing. Now today we're covering that with regard to making restitution. If you wrecked that guy's car, you fix his car. If you broke that man's window, you fix his window. If you stole something out of his store, you pay for it. If you don't have the money, we don't make the guy that you stole from pay triple for his loss. You say, what are you talking about? That doesn't make any sense. Okay. Let me give you an example. Juan Lee breaks into your house in Malibu, California, and he steals $1,000 in cash that was going to pay your bills. You had it ready to pay your bills. Well, Juan Lee gets arrested. He gets put in jail. Guess who gets to pay for that? Not Juan Lee. It's free room and board for him. You pay for that. Now Juan Lee, he's cost you $1,500. Juan Lee goes to the judge. He says, the only reason I stole that money is I've got a drinking problem, and I need rehab. Guess who pays for Juan Lee's rehab? You do. Now the guy that robbed your house has robbed you three times, and you still don't have your $1,000 back. According to the Word of God, you don't put Juan Lee in jail. You put Juan Lee to work on a farm or cutting lumber or building furniture or sweeping floors, something. Tell the city street sweepers to take the month off and let Juan Lee do it with a broom and a dustpan. At the end of every week, you don't pay Juan Lee. No, you pay the person Juan Lee robbed until they get their $1,000 back. You don't have to build jails. You don't have to hire guards. You don't have to pay for Juan Lee's rehab program. You don't have to buy all this big expensive equipment for every city, town, and municipality in the country. You put a man to work like he's supposed to be doing, and his money goes to the people he stole it from, because it's not his money, it's their money. Okay, now look, a system of restitution is what God set up. God set that up. And that would go so far towards solving the economic problem in your nations and your cities, the crime population in your nations and your cities, the rate of repeated crimes by the same people who end up back in the same jails for doing the same thing. Look, if it costs the criminal now and not the person who was the victim of the crime, then and only then would you start to see this thing turn around. But as it is, the person who's robbed keeps getting robbed, and it's because we deal inappropriately with the robber. All right, take a look at verse number 7. If a man shall deliver unto his neighbor money or stuff to keep. You didn't know stuff was a Bible word, did you? And it be stolen out of the man's house. If the thief be found, let him pay double. Okay. The man who stole it, he not only pays it back, he pays it back with interest. What's the interest rate? Here it's 100%. You say, that's too much. Cuts down on stealing, though, doesn't it? Look, I mean, if you made the crime something that costs the criminal, you're going to cut down on crime. If a man with no decent food and no decent housing and, this guy takes a chance on robbing you and gets caught and put in jail, and now suddenly he has better food than he had before. He has housing and he has cable TV. He has a weight room so he can get strong enough to be a threat to the guards. That is not a deterrent. The deterrent is if you stole $50 from that man, you have got to pay him back $100. And if you don't have $100, then you're going to have to go to work on the chain gang, and the money that you make on that chain gang, that's going to go to the man that you robbed. And the result is, the next time you think about robbing somebody, you're probably going to change your mind. How about that? Verse number 8. If the thief be not found, then the master of the house shall be brought unto the judges to see whether he hath put his hand unto his neighbor's goods. Because he was supposed to be keeping his neighbor's stuff safe, right? Now, nobody's saying that you did anything wrong here, but it is possible. So it's not that we're accusing you, but we're just going to question you. You know, I mean, think about it. If your house got robbed, and the only thing missing is my stuff that you were keeping for me, and the robber didn't take any of your stuff, I'm not saying that you stole it, but it's kind of suspicious, you see. Verse 9, for all manner of trespass, whether it be for ox, for ass, for sheep, for raiment, or for any manner of lost thing, which another challengeth to be his, the cause of both parties shall come before the judges. And whom the judges shall condemn, he shall pay double unto his neighbor. If a man deliver unto his neighbor an ass, or an ox, or a sheep, or any beast to keep, and it die, or be hurt, or driven away, no man seeing it, Then shall an oath of the Lord be between them both, that he hath not put his hand unto his neighbor's goods, and the owner of it shall accept thereof, and he shall not make it good. And if it be stolen from him, he shall make restitution unto the owner thereof. You see it again? Pay it back. Pay it back. Pay it back over and over again. You remember when Elisha and the sons of the prophets were chopping down the wood, and the axe head flew off of the handle of one fellow and fell into the water? And that young man said what we've all said sometime in our life: "Alas, master, for it was borrowed." Hey, let me tell you something. If you want something to break, borrow something. It'll break. All right? That's the way things work. use somebody else's stuff and you're going to watch it fall apart. If someone says, "I've had that thing for 10 years and nothing ever went wrong with it." Yeah, but here I am holding the pieces. And why did he say that? Why did he say, "Alas, master, for it was borrowed"? Why didn't he say, "Whew, glad it wasn't my axe head"? Okay? Because you broke that man's axe that wasn't yours. You got to get him a new axe. Well, what if I just say I'm sorry? He's still short one axe. What if I tell him I prayed about it and God forgave me? It wasn't God's axe. See, that's the Christian thing. You know, I prayed about it and the Lord said it was under the blood. It wasn't the Lord's car that you stole. If you steal something from God, you go settle it with God. If you steal something from somebody else, you can't get God to get you out of that. But what about, we'll get to the what abouts, don't worry. All right, verse 13. If it be torn in pieces. Well, you know, I didn't do it, but my kids just didn't know any better. They thought the back seat of your car was like a whiteboard, but all they had was permanent markers. If it be torn in pieces, then let him bring it for witness, and he shall not make good that which was torn. Now let me tell you what a good man David was. Remember when he said, "A lion came and got one of my sheep, and I went and killed that lion, and I took the pieces of the sheep that were left and brought them back to the master who owned those sheep"? Do you know why? Do you ever wonder why did he do that? It's to prove that he didn't kill that sheep and eat it, or to prove he didn't sell it, okay? And just to fill his own pockets with money from another man's sheep. So, well, why didn't he just tell him the truth? Because God required proof. If a man will steal a sheep, he'll lie about stealing a sheep. If a man will take something that belongs to somebody else, he'll just say he didn't do it. Come on, if somebody will steal, don't you think it's easy for them to lie? Kind of goes with the territory. So David went, he got that old bear, and he killed that bear. You say, well, what in the world is he risking his life for a dead sheep for? He's risking his life for his integrity. He's risking his life for the honor of his good name, so that he can go back to his master and say, and holding those pieces that are left of the sheep, and say, "I could have died getting this piece of sheep, but I'd rather die than have you think that I'm a thief." A good Bible says a good name is better to be had than great riches. And it was important to David. So what do you see here in this passage? Verse 1, restore. Verse 4, restore. Verse 5, restitution. Verse 6, restitution. Verse 7, pay him double. Verse 9, pay double. Verse number 11, make it good. Verse 12, make restitution. How about that? Now, brother, I'm glad you're saved. Sister, are you saved? I'm glad you're saved. I'm glad Jesus Christ has forgiven you. I'm glad that your sins are washed in the blood. That gets you to heaven when you die. That doesn't make everything you do right. And it doesn't make everything that you have done go away. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Second Corinthians 5:17. Here is the verse that people use when they want to get out of making something right. They want to get out of it. And they don't use it when it's time to witness or to give to missions. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Someone says, Brother Bob, I owed people a bunch of money, and I had even stolen a bunch of stuff before I got saved. Whew, thank God I'm saved now, and all of that is under the blood. It's in the past. Wait a minute. Well, think about this. Were you married before you got saved? Does that mean you're no longer married? Did you have children before you got saved? Are they no longer your children? Did you have a house before you got saved? Well, where are you going to call home now? I mean, look, you can't keep your wife and your kids and keep your house and say you don't have to keep your debt. That's not righteous. That's not godlike. Has the Lord pardoned our sin? Sure, He has. The eternal consequences of our sin have been taken away by Jesus Christ. The temporal responsibility to others because of our sin, that has not disappeared. I'm sorry if you had a broken marriage before you got saved. If you owe your wife money, you still owe her now that you got saved. If you've got child support to pay, that doesn't go away because you're born again. Did you owe the finance company? You owe the car company? You owe the credit card company? You still owe them. What are you going to do? Write a letter? Write a letter to the bank and say, you need to tear this up. I'm a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. You know, you're going to have to mail that letter from New Jerusalem, because it's not going that letter's not going to do any good down here. That's right. Now, it is fair and it is just to make use of Jesus Christ's offer of forgiveness to get ourselves out of hell and into heaven. That's why He died on the cross, so that we could have eternal life. But the result of eternal life is not so that we can hide behind Jesus Christ while we keep sinning. It's so the righteousness of Jesus Christ could teach us a new way of living. And the sure proof that a man has been born again is not that he tries to sweep his past under the rug, but that he looks that past straight in the eyes, and by the grace of God, he tries to make it right. Are you saved? Don't go give a guy a gospel tract when you owe him $20. Give him the $20. That'll show him you're a new creature. You say, but I want to witness to him. He doesn't want you to witness to him. He wants you to pay the bill that you have owed him for 3 years. If you pay him, he might say, wow, what happened to him? Now you can witness to him. Don't pull into the church parking lot in a car that you bought with somebody else's money. You had money to buy that car. That means you had money to pay back the people that you owe. That should have been done first. All right, Proverbs chapter 6. Proverbs chapter number 6. Restitution. Restore it. Make it right. Don't justify it. Don't excuse it. Don't say you had a good reason for it. Thou shalt not steal, period. Proverbs chapter 6 and verse number 30. Proverbs 6:30. Men do not despise a thief if he steal to satisfy his soul when he is hungry. If I told you that some kids in a war-torn African nation had stolen some rice out of a United Nations bag and they ate it to keep from dying, I don't think there's a person in here who would hold that against those kids. If I told you that an American with air conditioning, heat, running water, indoor plumbing, a house, a car, clean clothes, if I told you that guy stole something from his neighbor, surely you know that that's an entirely different situation. You say, well, yeah, but that guy, he just had a problem. Yeah, he had a problem. He's sinning. You say, well, that wasn't him. It was the drugs. Not an excuse. You say, it wasn't him. It was his upbringing. Not an excuse. You say, it wasn't him. He's got a drinking situation. Not an excuse. You say, it wasn't him. His wife just left him. Well, then he doesn't need as much money anymore. Not an excuse. Come on. We're at the point in our society where when somebody gets caught, they admit to what they're doing, and the trial becomes some about whether or not we should hold the guy responsible for his actions. The answer is yes. We don't care why you did it. Did you do it? We don't care how you were feeling that day. Did you do it? We don't care that the barometric pressure collided with your biorhythms. You'd be surprised what they come up with in the courtrooms. You did it or you didn't do it. That's it. If you stole it, give it back. Well, Your Honor, I'd rather take the 90 days in jail. We're not giving you 90 days. You're going to pay it back. Well, then I'll just plead no contest. Please have mercy. You're not pleading anything. If you took it, you are going to pay it back. Well, I don't feel good. Well, we'll find you something you can do while you're not feeling good. You can sweep the street. We'll get you a chair. You can sit. You can sweep a little bit while you sit there. Move the chair. Sweep a little bit more. You know? Hey, you were strong enough to break into that guy's car, to go through his glove box, to look under his seats. Then you're strong enough to sweep a parking lot. But in the jail, I went to the service and I got saved. Well, good. You'll be a better worker when you're sweeping the street. You can witness to your co-workers while you sweep the street. You say, "Brother Bob, you're a mean man." I'm not a mean man. The Word of God is not what's ruined our nation. It's ignoring the Word of God that's ruined everything. That's what ruins nations. Proverbs 6:31. But if he be found, he shall restore sevenfold. He shall give all the substance of his house. Look at that. If you took $50 from somebody and you don't have 350, that's times seven, right? You can't give 350 back to him, that's okay. We'll just come to your house and we'll take your sofa. We'll sell it. But my sofa is only worth $75. Okay, we'll come back, we'll get your chair. Then we'll get the table. And then we'll get the refrigerator. You say, "You can't take all my stuff." Well, wait a minute. When did you all of a sudden become against taking somebody's stuff? You stole that man's cow? You stole that man's sheep? But if I don't have my refrigerator, I can't keep my stuff cold. Eat it hot. You say, "That's cruel." That's not cruel. If the biblical laws were in place, if they were enforced, you wouldn't have to double and triple lock your house. And you wouldn't have to have all these police, you wouldn't have to have all the security systems, and you wouldn't need so many law courts and so many jails. People wouldn't steal if it was going to cost them something to steal, instead of costing the person they stole from. You look at the systems, they're completely backwards. So, did you ever steal something? Take it back. You don't have it anymore. Figure out what it's worth, plus interest, at today's rate, and go settle that thing. It's for your benefit. Go settle it, square it away. "Well, I'm saved. I'm going to heaven." Yeah, but guess what? God would like to bless you. God wants to bless you. Instead of you having to keep reaping what you have sown, maybe you could start sowing some righteousness and reap some of that. Look, I don't have to do right to get to heaven, but if there's one thing this Bible teaches from one end to the other, it is that a man reaps what he sows. And if you have sown some rotten stuff, you ought to do the best you can to get out in that field and dig it up. Because as long as it's there, it's going to keep making corrupt fruit. So you ought to make restitution for your own sake, because you're not going to get any blessings until you do. Luke chapter 19. Look at this man here. Look what happened when he met Jesus. Luke chapter 19, verse number 1. And Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. And behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was the chief among the publicans, and he was rich. Okay, now it's not wrong to be a publican, and it's not wrong to be rich. But the combination of the two is historically not a good thing. Because here's how a publican operated. If your indebtedness to the public trust was $40, he made his living on a strict commission basis. That is, if he got $60 out of you, then he made $20, went into his pocket. If he got $80 out of you, he made $40. He could get whatever he could get out of you, as long as the public trust got what they had to have. It's no wonder the people hated the publicans. Verse 3, and he sought to see Jesus, who he was, and could not for the press, because he was little of stature. Zacchaeus was a little man. And he ran before and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him, and said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house. And he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. You know what the Bible says? But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Zacchaeus sought the Lord Jesus, beheld the Lord Jesus, heard the word of the Lord Jesus, believed the word of the Lord Jesus, and received the Lord Jesus. Verse 6, and he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. And when they saw it, they all murmured, saying that he was gone to be guest with a man that is a sinner. All right. Now, how is Zacchaeus, who has just received the Lord, how is he going to change public opinion regarding his person? Nobody said he's received the Lord. No, they said he's a sinner. Yeah, but Jesus is in the house now. Who cares? He's a sinner. Yeah, but he sought the Lord. He's a sinner. Yeah, but he invited Jesus in. But he's a sinner. How is Zacchaeus going to reverse his reputation? Verse number 8. And Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. And if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold. And Jesus said unto him, This day is salvation come to this house, for so much as he also is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. Now, is Jesus the Savior? Did Zacchaeus receive him into his house? When did Jesus say, when was it understood by the public that Zacchaeus was a different man? When he changed his ways of dealing with people that he had taken money from. What did he do? He made restitution, full restitution according to the word of God. And the Lord said, Hey y'all, did you see that? What do y'all have to say about him now? Did y'all see that? Did everybody get a good look at that? He's a different guy, a new man, isn't he? Look, it doesn't do any good to tell people that you're a new man if you're living like the old man. Ephesians 4:28 says this, Let him that stole steal no more. Well, that's only part of it. Because if you are still in possession of or still benefiting from what you stole in the past, you are still in the realm of thieving. Okay, you say, well, I don't have that thing anymore. All right? If the person that you stole from has not been compensated for their loss, you're still in the realm of stealing. You've got to make it right so you can start reaping good things instead of reaping what you've sown. All right. We're going to touch on one more area about this matter of restitution. Let's look at 1 Timothy chapter 2. First Timothy chapter 2, beginning in verse number 1. I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings, and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. Godliness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. All right? So let's talk about our duty to our employer. That's a person of authority, isn't it? So if Abdullah hires you to change oil at his oil change shop, and Abdullah says to you, I'm going to pay you to change oil from 8 a.m. to 4 p.m., and you leave at 3:45, you are stealing from Abdullah. Okay? You say, well, I don't understand. Well, look, you took 1/4 hour's wages right out of his cash register, and you did not work for those wages. It's stealing. If Abdullah is paying you to work from 8 to 4 to change oil at his oil change business, and every time a car pulls in, you see it coming, you go and hide in the bathroom, or you sneak around back and let the other guys get stuck doing all the work, servicing the 4th car in a row, you're stealing. He's paying you to change oil, not to hide in the bathroom. If Abdullah is paying you to work the desk at his oil change business, and you're spending your work day emailing, text messaging, playing video games, web surfing, watching the football game. Everything I'm mentioning, I've seen people do it at my job, okay? Or updating your Facebook page. You're stealing. Did Abdullah say, I'm going to hire you to play on the computer? Hey, you want to know why some economies get in such a mess? If you're supposed to be doing 8 hours for that company, 8 hours of work, that is, and you're doing 5.5 hours work for the company, you are wrecking the very company that you work for. You say, wow, I got a good thing going here. They can't fire me. We got this contract here. They couldn't get rid of me if they wanted to. Oh, they can get rid of you. The day you put the company that you're working for out of business, they're going to get rid of you because you put them out of business. Guess what? You grinned your way. You cut-cornered your way. You cheated your way right out of your work. If free food does not come with your paycheck, stop stealing food from the restaurant you work for. If free parts don't come with your contract, stop stealing parts from the parts shop you work for. I mean, really, think about it. If you have got to sneak it out in your lunchbox, you know you're not entitled to it. if you've got to hide something in your pockets to get it out the door, you know you're not entitled to it. Do you agree? It's common sense. You say, well, I'm a CEO. Everybody works for me. Well, if your company's public and people have stock in that company, you're working for them. Stop cheating them. I mean, this thing is from top to bottom. It works at every level. Isaiah 1:6 says, from the sole of the foot even unto the head, there is no soundness in it, but wounds and bruises and putrefying sores. They have not been closed, neither bound up, neither mollified with ointment. It just stinks from top to bottom. All right, look at Titus chapter 2. Titus chapter 2, verse number 9. Bible says, exhort servants to be obedient unto their own masters and to please them well in all things, not answering again, not purloining, but showing all good fidelity. You know what that is? That's faithfulness, dependability, reliability, trustworthiness. Okay? That they may adorn the doctrine of God our Savior in all things. Do you have a job? Do the job. Do it to the best of your ability. Do it in the hours specified, in the way specified, and don't take stuff. You say, well, I won't get caught. There's a God in heaven who says you reap what you sow. Okay? I want to sow righteousness so that I can reap God's blessings. I don't want to sow unrighteousness and just think that I got away with something, because I know there's a God in heaven. So make it right. Make it right. Some of you, maybe you haven't been saved long. I don't know what you did before you got saved. I'm glad you're forgiven. I'm glad you've got eternal life. But some of that stuff, you need to get it fixed. You need to fix it. Some of that stuff you need to get settled. Some of those accounts you need to clear them. Brothers, sisters, there's no justification for taking somebody else's stuff. If you have, make it right. Get it squared away so God can bless you. David said, I'd rather risk a lion or a bear tearing me to pieces than to lose my reputation. It's that important. If all I can bring back is one piece of that sheep, I'm going to do it to prove I'm not dishonest. I'm going to prove I'm not a thief. I don't want people calling me a thief. You know what people do? They shoplift. And then they say that they're entitled to do that because, well, that store's making too much money. Well, then how about you open a store and you just put a sign in your window, shoplifters welcome. Well, I didn't take much and they won't miss it. Well, then we'll all come over to your house and we won't take much. We'll just all take a little bit. Okay, you won't miss it. Restitution. Our nations, they need to learn about this. That'd solve our criminal justice problems. It really would. You could fix things in 6 months' time if you'd obey the scriptures. You know something? This all sounds different after your own house gets robbed. This all sounds different after somebody has stolen your car. We shouldn't have to live like that. I mean, senior citizens shouldn't have to be living in fear of home invasions and car robberies and purse snatchings and all that stuff. There's a way to stop it. And it's not by giving criminals big boy timeouts. You know, it's making them pay it back so that it costs the criminal and not the victim. Amen. All right, let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for setting us straight all these weeks about biblical finances, how Christians ought to live and make things right. Lord, we want to begin to start reaping the benefits of the good things that we sow in our life. But Lord, I just pray for everyone here that you have helped them to search their heart, to search their past, to see if maybe there's something they have sown in the past that's still plaguing them today. Lord, I pray that you'll help us each to make things right so we can enjoy your many blessings, the blessings that you want to give us. And Lord, if there's anyone here today that isn't saved, that hasn't received Jesus Christ as their Savior, let today be the day of their salvation. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.